All right, good morning, everybody. It's really good to see you on this very typical January morning. It's wonderful to be gathered inside with you and to see all of your bright faces despite the gray outside. My name is Kristen. I'm the Minister for Worship and Spiritual Care here at Rosedale United Church. Joining me in leadership today is our Minister of Community Engagement, Reverend Ruth Noble, and our accompanist, Norm Nurmi, and our soloist today is Valdis Yevtyevs. It's always good to be together. We're glad that you're here to form our community this morning. If you're here for the first time, those bangs that you're hearing, those are our pipes warming up. It's all good. It's just an old, 100-plus-year-old radiator system, so it may make some noise as it comes on to heat us. This is normal. We really do hope, though, that this time will help you to feel connected to community and to your faith, and that this will be a nourishing and a refreshing moment during your week. If this is your first Sunday here, a very special welcome to you, and you should know that after the service, we gather for tea and coffee and conversation, and to get there, you just go through that door right there. We do hope you'll stay and chat and just introduce yourselves and make yourselves known to us. If you're here with kids, we hope that you make yourself right at home. It's okay to stand up during the service. It's okay to walk around, to leave the sanctuary if you need to. We have a quiet area at the back with lots of coloring and books and quiet activities. We have also some activity packs for older kids for during the service that we'll invite you to take in a few moments. Kids 6 and under are welcome to our staffed nursery downstairs. There's the whole playroom, and we'll invite you to that in a few moments as well. So here at Rosedale United Church, we are a hub supporting human flourishing in this community and in our city, and one of our justice focuses this year is housing and shelter for all. Yesterday, the city closed emergency warming centers, despite knowing that our shelters are at capacity and that over 100 people every day ask to be let inside and are turned away. And so we are all invited to a vigil on January 31st. That's this Tuesday, meeting just half an hour from 12:30 to 1 p.m. at Nathan Phillips Square. It's interfaith. We'll be praying for a compassionate response to our housing crisis, and this will be while the city's executive committee is meeting. So all of you are invited to that. Some other announcements are Rimbala, which is movement and music for seniors on Wednesdays. It's starting at a new time, 11:30. So please note that if you've been thinking of joining this group. And next Sunday, we have a band that's joining us. They're called the Met Silver Band. They're a massive 30-piece silver band. They're going to be with us during the service. And then we're going to have a lunch right after church. You're all welcome to stay. And then they'll be doing a concert after that. Okay. Otherwise, it's important for you to know that Rosedale United is an affirming congregation. This is a community for people of all ages, gender identities, sexualities, family configurations, backgrounds. And we acknowledge today, as we call ourselves to worship, that we do so on land stewarded by our Indigenous siblings for millennia. And we acknowledge the centrality of land to the spirituality and identity of the Mississaugas, the Anishinaabe, the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, and the Wendat. Our flowers this morning are in loving memory of John Rothwell from his family. Today, this Sunday, is the year anniversary of John's passing. and the flowers were lovingly put together by Carol Rothwell and with help from Sally Medland. And if you remember John, you will know that these are his colors. John was always wearing, a cravat and a handkerchief, and they would often be in these bright oranges and yellows that we see here. So what a delight to be remembering John this morning. And Carol, our love and our prayers are with you and with your family. All right, I'm going to ask everyone to stand as we join together in our call to worship.
God created light in the beginning. God calls us to be the light of the world. Christ reveals God's light to us. God calls us to be the light of the world. The Spirit reveals God's light in others. God calls us to be the light of the world. Come, you who are the light for the world, let us worship God. And let us sing together, our voices united, number 79, Arise, Your Light Is Come.
I invite you now to just greet the folks who are around you with the peace of Christ. That's saying, peace be with you, and the response is, and also with you.
And also with you.
All right, so we invite you to be seated in this moment. We're inviting kids to go down to the nursery with Nicole. Nicole's our nursery leader today. If there are older kids here today, I don't think so, but there are the activity packs at the back for different age groups. So as our young folks go down to their programming, we bless our learning, and we have a response that we use to do that. It's not just the young folks who are learning, it's us as well. And so we invite you to join in our refrain of, I am a child of God.
I am a child. Of God, I am a glimpse of God's new creation.
And so as we begin our worship this morning, we gather ourselves, taking this moment to quiet our minds from whatever we have gone through this morning. Even just getting here this morning, we may need to settle ourselves a little bit. And we open our hearts to the divine that is in us and among us. So I invite us into a moment of silence, and then together this morning, we will say our gathering prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, we look at headlines and read of great sorrow, pain, division, and fear. Your word says, we hear of countless lives lost due to wars, accidents, sickness. Your word says, we see how world events have torn apart churches, families, communities, countries. Your word says, where in the headlines of today is the good news, the promise of your kingdom, a better tomorrow? Your word says, we are here seeking mercy and hope in your presence. Your word says, may we discover your presence among us today, gracious God. Amen. And we say together now the words of Jesus in the Lord's Prayer. This is the moment in the service where we open the theme a little more deeply, and we invite you into a time of just silent reflection. This is not reflection that you'll be called on to share with anyone. It's just for you, inside your own heart. Jesus was a fantastic person at helping people to meet the moment, which is our spiritual theme for this year. It always seemed like he had just the right thing to say at just the right time. And in a moment, we're going to hear Peter read our scripture, and it's Jesus just gathering his disciples up on a mountain to give them a little bit of teaching to help them with the challenges of their living. And so in this moment of opening our theme, I want to invite each of you to reflect on a moment in your life that was challenging or difficult or new. Or maybe it was all three. Maybe it was challenging and difficult and new. But to just recall that moment or moments in your own life and how your spiritual practices, whatever they are for you, helped you move through. Norm's going to play some music to help you think just for a couple of minutes, and we invite you to ponder. And Peter, I'll invite you for our scripture reading.
This is a reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the witness of the early church. Thanks be to God. In these ancient words, may we hear wisdom for living today.
Thank you, Peter. We respond in song. Make me a channel of your peace.
Where there is hatred, let me bring your love.
Let us pray. Great Spirit, creator of all life, we give you thanks for the world we are part of this morning. Friends and family, music and poetry, comfort and challenge, promise and hope.
We give you thanks for the wonder of the earth, the beauty of winter, light on snow, the crunch of snow beneath our feet and wheels. We remain in awe of the power of nature to change from rain to ice, from day to night, from summer to winter.
Though we are more inside now, more dormant in these winter months, our hearts remain out with others, and we hold our community in prayer.
Make us advocates for education and equitable opportunity for all, so that everyone can be involved in the thinking, debating, and discourse that make for open societies, democracy, and creative problem solving across political parties.
Keep us accountable to each other. Stir in us a sense of responsibility for each other. Help us to counter corporate culture that puts a price on everything.
Keep us involved in the messy and difficult work of being community. Keep us conscious of all people as our siblings, especially those who suffer under financial hardship.
Help us reach out to those who are suffering from loss. Give us the humility to see each other's needs.
We pray for those who are hungry. We pray for all the people in lineups that snake around city blocks, waiting to get into our food banks. And for those who work in food banks, who are overextended and trying to cope with increased demand and short supply, make us your peacemakers, connecting people and breaking down the infinite silos that divide us.
Let us not be shy to pursue what you call right, caring for the vulnerable, sharing what we have, noticing abundance, celebrating grace. Amen. And now, at this time, as we have been reflecting on our theme, I invite you to come forward and light a candle as a way of honoring the prayer you were holding in your heart. You're also invited to give your offering in the wooden box that's at the back of the church. And so let us say together, we offer the work of our hands and the love of our hearts, the gifts of God as a blessing for the world. And Norm will now play as you will light your candles.
Thank you.
Wow. Thank you so much, Valdis. That was just gorgeous. Thank you. In this moment, I want to invite Sandra Pitt-Blado to come forward and Mariana Bell. You often hear from myself and Ruth as preachers, and we have guest speakers come in. But we're doing something special this year as well, where when we have a fifth Sunday in a month, we thought, you know, it'd be kind of cool to hear from people in our congregation about their faith, so that we're hearing different voices, which is something that we really value, and also so that we can just reinforce this idea that faith isn't the purview of the ministers or special guests. Faith and spirituality belongs to all of us, and all of us have our own experiences with us, and it's important to share those experiences and to hear. And so this morning I've invited Sandra and Mariana into conversation, and I'm going to move over by you two now. We're going to do this a little differently this morning, more sort of conversation style than straight up reflection. But I want to start with just giving each of you a chance to introduce yourselves to the congregation. You will be known probably to most everyone here, but for those who haven't met you yet, maybe you could just say your names, your relationship with Rosedale United Church, when you started attending here, why.
Good morning. I'm Sandra Pitt-Blado. Excuse me with a bad throat. Excuse me. I've been in the United Church since I was born, 90 years ago now. And we've been at Rosedale for 40 years, which is probably about 40 years. It's been our home place for worship and all of our family activities, marriages, and sadly, funerals. And it's been someplace that's very important to us. So I'm glad to be here this morning and share some of my thoughts with you.
Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Mary Annabelle, and I'm not holding the microphone close enough to my mouth. Those of you who have heard me sing know that I would be not a fan of microphones. I've been coming to Rosedale Church since October 1989. I came to hear a friend of mine sing in the choir. He had a solo that Sunday and asked me if I would come. I was very new to the city, and I had a small child. Max was about 1.5 then. And the church was full. In those days, the church was full. And Wayne Strongman, the music director, heard me singing in the congregation and he came up to me at the end of the service and said, "I really need an alto soloist. Are you available?" And so that's how I've been at the church. And it's become a home for me. It's become a place where I've made good friends and made good music.
Thank you. So I'm gonna ask you two the question that we took up as a whole congregation during our theme time, and that's just to share a time in your life that was challenging or difficult or new, and how your faith helped you meet that moment.
So, the most challenging thing by far in our lives, difficult, was the death of our son, David. And he died 20 years ago, just about now. And it was probably it certainly was the most difficult thing we've done. He had cancer. This congregation was wonderful for us. In the 5 years he struggled with it, everybody was very supportive. We were very appreciative of all of that. David died in London, England, and we were with him. Wendy was with us as well. And I was really angry with God. I thought he'd really let me down. But then I realized that God really didn't have anything much to do with cancer. So my anger was subdued after that. And David died on a Saturday, and I was very upset and, as I say, angry. And by Sunday morning, I thought, I need to go to church. I need to go to church. So Jim and Wendy and I found a church close to where David lived, and we went to church. And I think that was a very healing process, certainly for me, and it was something that we really had to do. It was important to us. That was my most excruciating experience, I guess.
I'm sorry for that.
Me too.
My most excruciating experience was the fallout after I had my son, Max, who is now almost 35, for those of you who may remember him. I had him without the benefit of marriage or a partner at the time, and my family reacted very badly and shunned me for several years. I was alone in the world with a baby and no possessions because my parents made sure that I didn't have any. And so I had to do a complete reboot of my life. But the one thing I didn't have to reboot was my faith. I had a very strong conviction that Max was meant to be in this world and that God had a plan for him and for us. And I went to my church family. This was in Ottawa. I went to my church family, who were very loving and supportive. And through prayer groups and other assistance, I grew in my faith while missing the familial structure that I had so belonged to. And I was just certain that one day my family would accept me back into the fold. And they did, although things had been much changed.
Thank you both. You both described a challenging and difficult moment in your own personal lives, and I wonder if you might also describe, as you can, with whatever words you want to use, this moment in which we're all living right now. I think a lot of us feel that we're living in a moment, quote unquote. So how would you describe it? What words would you use?
Well, it was very interesting to listen to the introduction this morning to the prayers. It described, in the prayer actually, described what we're going through here in this world. All of the anger and tragedy of war and our own community even, which is disturbed and disturbing. Also, the fact that we are trying very hard to make a community, not just here in our area, but in the city, helping those who need help. It's sad to me that we have to be so divided all of the time. But I also think that on the other side of the coin, where we have a very strong community here, and I like to think that we'll be able to make something of it and enjoy being together, trying to keep things the way we'd like them to be.
What she said. We live in a very divided. We live in a very divided time, and the crevices are getting wider and wider. But at the same time, we are all seeking deeper relationship with faith, with people, with family, and with those who are needing help. So it's very much a two-sided coin.
When you think about our little congregation, and we are changed, Mariana, and you mentioned that earlier in your comments, we're not the same congregation that we were 20 years ago, 30 years ago. How do you think our little congregation, this group of people here this morning and others who aren't here, how are we called to respond to this moment?
I feel that it's a changing world, of course, and we all know why. We don't need to be told about all of our new magical machines, none of which we can work very well, but at least they're here. My dear grandson is here right now, and he's our man to keep us going. But I think that it's so important that we stay together and practice our faith. I have a very quiet faith. Mm-hmm. I don't pray a lot. Kristen, but I don't. But I come to church because I want to be here. I want to be with everybody. I need the prayers that are said. That was a beautiful prayer this morning. And I pray then, and I have my faith that means a great deal to me, but it's just quiet. It doesn't need to be very much other than that it's very, very important and precious to me. And I hope that those of you who kind of feel the same way as I do, take something from that, because it's okay not to pray every day. Kristen, I'm sorry, but
it's okay.
I don't think. And I think it's all right to just appreciate life and the world around us and love what's going on and enjoy what you have in your lives. And to me, it's so important. My family, of course, is the rock on which I rest. My husband is the most important person in my world. And we make a good time together, and we love one another and our family, and I hope that that goes out to express that to other people and know that I think that's God. I think that's part of what's going on. I really believe that it's my strength.
I believe that as we're talking about building communities, we need to look at the circles of communities that we can build. Mm-hmm. And the community at Rosedale Church itself can look inward and build friendships and social working groups and prayer circles and all of those things that people look for in a church. And then we can look outward a little more and see if there are fragile people in this community and do what we can to help them, especially as the congregation is aging and some people aren't able to get to church anymore. Mm-hmm. The next circle would be the work we do with the Shining Waters group and North Toronto
Cluster.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's through that work that we can help the broader Toronto community and make connections there. And then the other one, I'm going to sound like I'm advertising for the national office, but the other way we can build another circle is by supporting the Mission and Service Fund. Because through the Mission and Service Fund, remote communities within Canada and in the broader world are helped, and our dollars can help. We could volunteer for the Mission and Service. They have workshops and so on that they do. And I'd just like to put in a word for that.
Right on.
As far as my own faith life goes, I'm trying an experiment this year. And those of you who read Keeping in Touch a couple of weeks ago will have heard a little bit of this before. I live with physical and mental health difficulties, chronically. And so I need structure in my life. And I was brought up in the Baptist Church. And then I moved to the Anglicans, and then I moved to the Uniteds, and I've been enriched by all of that. But what I'm doing this year is I have found, through the inspiration of the Books of Hours, which were books that cloistered communities kept and the aristocracy kept to keep their faith life in order. So in the morning, I say my prayers and I meditate. And at noon, I listen to a podcast about prayer that I'm really enjoying, and I'm looking forward to the next chapter in that podcast. It's called The Rule of Life. Mm-hmm. And in the afternoon, I will read some poetry that has spiritual significance. And in the evening, I say my prayers again and listen to music. And I make sure that I sing every day because that's the best thing for my soul. And I don't mean to sound like a goody two-shoes because I'm certainly not. but this is what I'm trying to do, and I'm finding it's giving some balance and order to my life, and I'm enjoying learning more about prayer and more about conversations with and at God.
Right on. Thanks, Mariana. Thanks, Sandra. We hope that this just sparks your own thinking as you leave this sanctuary today, that you will continue to ask yourself, how are my spiritual practices in my life helping me to meet what's challenging, what's difficult, what's new? How are we called as a church to respond? And also, what's grounding you right now? What is helping you to come alive? What's helping you to connect with your spirit? I'd love to hear the answers as the weeks go by. We hope that you'll share them. Maybe you'll talk about them at coffee hour. But for now, we thank Sandra and we thank Mariana, and we invite all of you to stand as we sing. Thank you. I can take this one.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Friends, we go out warmed by this time together into a world that can feel cold for others. And so as we go, we bring this warmth with us. We bring the light of insight with us. We bring the wisdom and caring of community with us. And as we go, we know that we walk with God. We are led by the example and the teaching and the being of Jesus Christ, and we go with the power always of the Holy Spirit. Friends, we go together. We bless ourselves with our parting blessing.